Hey, this is Phil from Sacred Reich, and you're listening to Sonic Perspectives.
And this is Michael the Metal Angel, otherwise known as Metal Milieu, and I am speaking to Phil Rind of Sacred Reich. And let's just say he is the premier Arizona bassist and vocalist for the one and only Mr. 31 Flavors himself, Sacred Reich, a band who I would like to say, avoid ignorance, remain independence, and eventually you will heal.
Oh, damn, that's pretty good. I like that.
It's the American way. Anyway.
Oh, damn, you were waiting for that. It set you up.
Well, there's no truth nor justice. You love us or hate us.
Wow. Keep them coming, man. Keep them coming.
Let's begin with a question and not the EP.
Whoa, man. You had a lot up your sleeves today.
Now, I told you I'm a fan. Believe it or not, I'm just sitting here in the bedroom with the dog chewing on the bone, the wife laughing, and a phone next to a phone. No internet, no nothing. So this whole thing will be on the fly. I'm all about old school. I don't like any of this new shit. All right, so people have been asking me. I just covered Iron Maiden a couple days ago, and everybody was asking me about the new Sacred Reich and what I thought about it, because, you know, when you did Don't Do It, Donnie, a lot of people kind of misunderstood the joke and thought maybe you guys were going with more of a hardcore Iron Reagan type direction, or maybe you were losing, you know, your real thrash roots that you started on Metal Blade. But I told them I, you know, had got the album and burned it and listened to it, oh, I don't know, about 30 times, because, you know, it's only 30 minutes long. And as I listened to it, I was just like, no, this is a really good, solid album, and I'm really impressed. I mean, first of all, you got the songs that evoke the ignorance and the surf Nicaragua and the American way, but then I also found that you have newer songs that kind of have more of a, like, a laid-back type vibe, but not exactly more like, you know, when you were on, when you did Independent, which were, like, songs like Crawling, that the video played ad nauseum on MTV, were kind of almost too long. So I think you kind of found, like, your niche again. So what was the main idea when you guys said, first of all, I gotta ask you, what happened to Jason?
Well, unfortunately, Jason just, like, physically, and, like, there's some stuff going on with him. Like, he just wasn't going to be able to do it, you know. We tried everything we could, and, you know, like, we all tried, and, you know, it just became apparent he wasn't going to be able to be up to it, you know, and be able to come through for us. It's really sad, dude. It was a heartbreaking thing. You know, Jason started the band.
Right, right.
He and I did so much together, and I'm probably closer to him than anybody else on the whole planet. So, and when it became apparent, like, I cried for 2 days straight. Like, it was,
Well,
it was heartbreaking. But, you know, we have to do what we need to do, you know, and the band needs to keep going. So,
right, because
we're really lucky to have Joey. I mean, you know, it was very last minute. I mean, right up to the end, right when we went in the studio, we were like, you know, pulling for Jason, you know, come on. And then it was like the first day in the studio, it became apparent, you know, it wasn't going to work.
Oh, yeah, because you and Jason go back to, you know, being road crew for Flotsam and Jetsam, right?
Well, Jason was, yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Jason started the band. I joined the band after the band had been around for like 3 or 6 months or something like that. You know, this, like, super ancient history.
Yeah, no, but, yeah, I know. He's a dumbass.
It was he and I. Jason was living at my house, you know, so we were always very close.
Did you guys both go to Coronado High School in Arizona, in Scottsdale?
I think we all went to Coronado, but just not at the same times.
Yeah, because my sister graduated from there, and I remember being in college and reading the lyrics to Administrative Decisions going, holy shit, Coronado High School? My sister has that yearbook.
Yeah, it's so funny, right?
Yeah, and I think her and Michael Gilbert might have been in some classes together, so yeah, small world.
Oh, that's cool.
But okay, so yeah, your new guitarist is doing a great job, and I was just kind of curious if, like you said, Jason, I remember talking to Wiley on Facebook a couple years ago, and and Jason seemed like he was definitely with you guys. And then when I saw the new album and I saw the new lineup, and I was like, oh wow, what happened to Jason Rainey? And like you said, you know, just couldn't give it. But you got a guitarist now that's, you know, obviously plays the Sacred Reich material to the nines, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, he's incredible. I mean, he's such an incredible guitar player, and I mean, I think we sound better than we ever have right now, so it's really a good time for us.
Yeah, I got that the promo that that Alive 2019 that had the single for Awakening and then the live tracks for Love Us or Hate Us and Independent and One Nation, and yeah, it sounds great. I know you guys are touring with Gwar, and I look forward to seeing you with that tour. How did the Gwar tour come about?
You know, I'm not sure. Our agent called one day and said, hey, what do you think about touring with Gwar? This thing came up. And we're like, hell yeah, that would be great. So that was pretty much it. I mean, it came up and they decided to take us. So, yeah, it's going to be great, man. 2 months. No one really tours like that anymore. So we're happy to do that. Like all our tours used to be 8-9 weeks, you know? So, we just want to get out and play for the people. So it'll be a lot of fun. I have friends that know those guys. I've never met them, and they all said they're really killer people and real professional and real fun. And it'll be fun with them and Toxic Holocaust and Against the Grain. I think it's going to be a great show.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I know. It's another thing. I think a lot of people weren't even aware. You know, they didn't know you guys were on that roster. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And they're going to be coming to Columbus and Indiana. So that's kind of cool. I've actually never had the privilege of seeing you. I almost saw you 2 years ago in Chicago when you guys did the Still Ignorant tour. Managed to get a t-shirt at least. But I've never got a chance to see you. So I look forward to finally seeing you someday.
Yeah, it's going to be great, man. It's really going to be great.
Because I've, like I said, I've been a fan ever since Metal Massacre 7 when I first heard the original version of Ignorance. And I know the lyrics from Ignorance from start to finish. So don't get me started.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Evil Mind has been on
destruction. You should try to sing Victim of Demise one day along with the record. I dare you.
Victim of Demise. That's been a long one. It's like R.I.P.
It's a mouthful. Yeah. I remember singing that in the studio, and Bill Matoya, who did the record, he's like, why do you do that to yourself?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know, dude. It's too many words.
Exactly.
Evil Mind. Especially the chorus. It's just brutal.
Right. And Evil Mind's been on Destruction, Annoy the Pleas of the Race. And that's enough to remember, right? After 30 years.
Well, Violent Solutions is decomposing internal organs, virus killing mental disorder, limbs like rotting, bodily slaughter, slowly losing his life, agonizing, dying, pain from his body, life, blood drain, prolonged suffering, driving, insane, victim of demise. And it's like, you got to take a big breath in between. Because he goes, decomposing internal organs, virus killing, mental disorder, limbs like rotting, bodily slaughter, his life, agonizing, dying, pain from his body, life, drain, prolonged suffering, driving, insane, victim of demise. And it's a mouthful.
Exactly. And we're not young anymore, so we can't do it. We did 30 years ago.
Yeah, I'm like, do we have to play that song live? Jeebers.
No. I think if you stick, actually, that's what made American Way such a brilliant album and such a great thing, is you guys still had the kick-ass thrash melodies and Wiley's amazing guitar solos and everything like that. But the lyrics were the best, especially songs like Love Hate, you know, and as I mentioned, 31 Flavors, that was so ahead of its time. Also, I got to ask you this. How did you guys get an Encino Man for this title track for American?
We were on Hollywood Records.
Okay.
So that was Hollywood Films. They're all part of the Walt Disney. So I think it was like the publishing arm of Hollywood trying to get their money back through the film arm of Walt Disney. So yeah, it was totally out of our hands.
Okay, because I know Vince Neil had just gone solo and he had invited, you know, you're invited, your friends can't come, and that was a real big thing for Brendan Fraser. And you know, but I remember, you know, that glinch to seeing that, like, oh my god, he's working out to American Way video by Sacred Reich. That's so cool.
I don't know, man. It was out of our hands, but it's funny how many people still say, oh, I saw you guys. And in Europe, the movie's called California Man. So they go, we saw you in that movie, California Man. Because they don't know what Encino is.
Right. Oh, that's funny. Interesting. And then, of course, you made the logical choice from Bachelor Party to cover Oingo Boingo's Who Do You Want to Be Today?
Yeah, I love Oingo Boingo.
Absolutely. Yeah, who would ever thought Danny Elfman would go on to such a successful career as like one of the best composers of music?
It's incredible, yeah. And you know what's funny is they have to send it to them so they can approve it, like that we reprint the lyrics. You can cover a song, but you can't reprint the lyrics without permission.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I'm pretty sure Danny Elfman heard it.
That's, you know, awesome.
I'm like, ah, that's a bit of a thrill. So
it's such a great song. You guys do it so well too. I mean, all your covers are great, but I mean, obviously when you're doing Fear or as your trademark Black Sabbath, whether it's War Pigs or anything like that, but it's kind of cool to hear you do Boingo Boingo. That's just a different,
I can imagine that Danny Elfman probably got a chuckle after hearing, like, you know, who do you want to be, the metal version? You know, it sounds like that, but just like the metal version of it.
Exactly. And it's such a great song anyway. All right. So now getting serious, speaking of independent, you got Dave McLean back, you know, he was in Machine Head for a number of years and now he's back. His drumming, you can definitely tell that you got Dave McLean. How did that come about?
So when we split with Greg, you know, we were talking like, what are we going to do? And, you know, what does it look like? Who's it going to be? Where do they live? How are they? You know, there's a lot of questions. And I just thought, I sent Dave a message. Hey, give me a call. You know, we have a minute. And he called and I said, hey, Greg's not in the band anymore. And Dave just goes, I want to do it. I want to do the record. I want to do the tour. And I was like, killer. that was awesome. And he said, you know, I always hoped there'd be a time I can be in Sacred Reich again. And that was like so special that he said that to me. It almost made me cry, you know, that he even thought about us like that. Because Machine Head's a big, successful band.
Definitely.
He was in the band 23 years, you know, and it's just like the fact that he even still thought about us in that way was, I just thought it was really sweet, you know. And then, you know, he was still a Machine Head, so I said, you know, what do your commitments look like? He goes, well, you know, the record will be out soon and we're going to probably be touring for a year, year and a half. And we're like, oh, we waited 22 years. What's another year, you know?
Yeah.
And at the time, you know, he just said, we'll do the record and tour. He was still, you know, at that time, he was still a member of Machine Head. And I think as time went on, he realized he didn't want to continue to be a Machine Head. But when we originally spoke, there was really no talk of him joining Sacred Reich permanently, you know.
Okay, so it was just something he just wanted to just tour with you guys. He hadn't planned actually recording material with you.
Yeah, I mean, he said, I want to do the record and we'll do the tour. And you just go, okay, you know, we'll see what happens. And then he left. And now it's no question about what's going to happen. And we're really fortunate. He's incredible. He's a great drummer. He's a great guy. And, you know, it's wonderful to have him back in the band. And we're all really happy. And we've been playing these shows. And it's just so fun and feels just the way it should be, you know?
Absolutely. I know when I met him on the, I guess they were, Machine Head was opening for Heaven and Hell, I guess with Megadeth a number of years ago, and I think Phil, who's now back in Violence, had just joined, so I guess it was the Blackening album. I sat down and talked to Dave, and all we did was talk about Sacred Reich and San Antonio Slayer, so it was still in the back of his mind.
Yeah, he makes me laugh, because I remember when, you know, Greg quit our band 2 weeks before we were going on tour with Sepultura in Europe.
Wow.
We had 8 weeks in Europe with Sepultura and then 9 weeks in the U.S. book back to back. And Greg's like, I can't do it. I'm like, no, you can do it, dude. He's like, I can't. I'm like, quit saying you can't. You got to do it. You just can't quit on us like that. You know, we're starting in 2 weeks. And then he quit. And so we started auditioning people and like, and I would know within 30 seconds whether guys were going to make it or not. Like, can you trust these people or not? I mean, it's the engine of the band. And Dave called. I guess he's friends with Troy, who used to play in Flotsam, and then he was in Prong.
Okay, yeah.
And Troy knew that Dave loved Sacred Reich. He goes, hey, man, Sacred Reich's looking for a drummer. And he got my number from Troy, and he called me. He goes, hey, my name is Dave McLean. You know, I'm going to be your new drummer. And I go, yeah, we'll see. You know, and then he came out, and he totally killed it. Like, within 30 seconds, I'm like, holy shit. And I'm like, okay, let's play this song. Let's play this song. Let's play this song. I was like, fuck. And we're all like, yeah, dude, it's obvious, you know? And, you know, and he said, you know, when I joined Sacred Reich, he's like, man, you're like one of my favorite metal bands. It was like a big thrill. So, I don't know, man. You know, it's just funny how things work out, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think Independent was like, just like with Quattro by Flotsam, Independent was like the most overplayed MTV era for Sacred Reich. So we just constantly got bombarded with Crawling and Independent. But you got to see Dave's drumming and, you know, and most fans of that era, you know, like you said, it was Hollywood Records. I remember that. Yeah, I remember that now. So I noticed recently, speaking of Independent, that the remaster of Independent actually has the Question EP Somehow I missed out on that one because I know the Surf Ignorance one's long out of print now and hard to find. What made him decide to put that on there, or was that none of the band's decision?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't even remember that we did that. I don't know.
Like, I just learned it too.
It's very murky, and the rights issues are very murky. And I'm pretty sure like that got released, like not 100% fully.
Oh, it's on Displeased.
Yeah, just kind of like a little under the radar.
Yeah.
I don't really know. I can't remember. A lot of stuff's happened, and I should probably pay a little more attention. But
right.
You know, like I was talking with the people at Metal Blade, and we're just trying to get everything back because, you know, we did the independent, we did the Ignorant Surf reissue.
Right, yeah, Surf
both
Ignorance.
Records, but that was just, it was an import. They couldn't release it in the U.S. And the whole idea behind that was Monty, who used to run, we used to work over at Roadrunner.
Right, now Disney Good Blast, right?
Yeah, years ago he went, yeah, he goes, have you looked up your records on eBay? And I was like, what's eBay?
Sounds like me.
Explained to me what eBay was. And I went and looked, and like Surf was going for like $40-$50. I'm like, what a ripoff.
Yep.
You know, and I called Brian. I'm like, we should reissue those things. But, you know, if there's anybody out there that still likes Sacred Reich and wants to buy a Sacred Reich record, they shouldn't be taken advantage of.
Mm.
So that's kind of the genesis of everything. So we're hoping to be able to put, you know, all this stuff out, but legally it's just such a hassle, and a lot of the stuff was acquired by Hollywood, and then it took me, you know, 2 months to find out to get a phone number of somebody at Hollywood, and I sent them an email too, and I poured my heart out, like it doesn't mean anything to you guys, but this is our life, and yep. We put so much into it, it means so much, and I understand it's not a priority for you, but I wrote them this whole long email, and the only response was, you're right, it's not a priority. And I'm like, man, I'm gonna fly out there and just beat your ass for being such a jerk. And then I have a friend that works at iTunes, and he's like, oh, I know the guy in Hollywood, like they had changed regimes. And I was like, can you put me in touch with someone who can make a decision over there, you know? And we're just working on all of it. We'd like to get it all back and just be able to put it out for the people, you know, who've been there for us. So
absolutely.
Hopefully, I'm confident it'll all work out.
I actually do have that question, Digipak EP, that originally came out, and that goes for arm and a leg.
Oh, that's funny, because, you know, Joey's dad, Tim plays drums, and Tim had a studio, and he's like, hey, man, you know, I play drums. I have a little studio if you need help making the demos for the record. I'm like, yeah, that would you know, so we jammed with Tim on the demos, and Joey was recording it. You know, he was engineering everything. He played guitar. It's like, here, just play this guitar part, you know. So Joey recorded on the demos. So when we had to get a guitar player to make the record, I'm like, well, Joey already recorded all the songs once, actually twice. We record a lot of stuff in D, and then when I went to go sing it, it wasn't really working. I go, hey man, can you go back and re-record those guitar parts in E flat? So we had to go. Record all the guitar parts, and then I had to go re-record all the guitar parts again in a different key. So he was familiar with them. What was my point? Oh, Tim. Tim always talks about a question because he really loves it. He's like, do you guys play that? I'm like, no, we don't play that. He goes, could you? I'm like, no, we won't be playing that song.
Yeah, that was like pretty much when Slayer did Gemini. You know, it was like their, you know, Undisputed Attitude. It was like they did all those great covers, and then they did Gemini, which was unlike anything they'd really done before. That was kind of cool to have you guys do Question even before Independent came out, and to hear you kind of slow down but also have this the right heavy riffs and everything, because American Way is just such a masterpiece in my opinion, lyrically, musically, production wise everything. Like you said, Bill Mottori did that, right?
Yeah,
that's, you know, explains it. So you know, so
thank you.
No, seriously. I really, like I said, I love, you know, actually I'm looking right now at a picture of myself from, I don't know, 16 years ago, and I'm wearing my original Surf Nicaragua t-shirt. I sent a photo of that to Wiley one time. He's like, where'd you get that bootleg? I'm like, no, it's real.
Yeah, it's probably old enough that the...
Oh, it is.
The print's probably a different color.
Yeah.
Because when we reprinted them, the Nicaragua is in black, and that's how we know if it's a bootleg or a real one. But if you know the original color of the first one, you can spot those two.
Yeah, it's like a circle with green letters kind of faded on top and orange outlining in the circle. So,
yeah,
it's original. It doesn't fit for shit anymore. Nothing does.
No, I understand.
So much for all my old pictures. pictures. So, you know, let's talk about the new album and the songwriting therein, because as I've told people, especially at Made and other venues, the album, even though I made the joke to my wife, I'm like, I can't believe it's only 30 minutes. And then I looked at Rack and I'm like, wait a minute, American Way is only 34 minutes and Surf Nicaragua is just 30 minutes and Ignorance is 30 minutes. Independence was the album that was actually like 50 minutes long. So it's amazing that you guys can write such good quality songs that are concise and tight in such a short amount of time, but they're not necessarily punk or hardcore. What went into you guys after 30 years? I mean, clearly on some of the songs, you hear that Ignorance, Surf Nicaragua type vibe. But like I said, as you get to the latter part of the album, you know, especially Death Valley and some of the songs like that, I almost hear like, you know, like 90s Malaya Rage or 90s Wargasm or some of those, Boston type thrash bands that started to kind of slow down but still had that thrash edge. I mean, even Prong, as you mentioned earlier with Troy. What went into the songwriting with all that?
The songs just came out. I mean, there wasn't a ton of thinking about stuff.
That's good. That's a good sign.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, it just came out like it came out. It was really natural the way everything happened. And, you know, we talked about making sure that we had some fast, heavy songs on the record because we didn't want to leave behind the people that started with us with Ignorance and have been with us all these years and making all of this possible, you know. But, you know, so we definitely knew, like, in the back of our heads, we want to have some fast, heavy songs, but we also just wanted things to happen as they happen naturally. So it was fortunate that it worked out the way it did and that we have a nice mix of songs between the fast, heavy stuff. And without, you know, we also wanted to, you know, add new things. And,
absolutely.
You know, just, you know, the question is always like, so what do you sound like now after 23 years? And the answer is like, I don't know. I guess it just sounds like what we do.
No, yeah, it's
and
definitely
sacred. I have a friend I was talking to about it. He's a movie director and he did the videos for this record and he's done a bunch of films, and I was saying, I don't know what we sound like. Do we sound like Ignorance, our first record? Do we sound like American Way? Do we sound like Black Sabbath? I don't know. And he's like, you know what you sound like? Whatever you do. So just go do what you do, and don't worry about it too much. And it was very liberating. So that's what we did.
Yeah, I would say you sound like Ignorance Live, because it's the epitome of a 30-year career of what Sacred Reich started and continues to do. And I think it's great, but you have that trademark and that blueprint that evokes the early Metal Blade years, but also there's a little bit of that, you know, crossover feel with Heel, but also there's a little bit more experimentation, and yet it's so concise that it's only 30 minutes. And like I said, I probably played the album, I'm not exaggerating, at least 25, 30 times, because it's so short that, you know, and, you know, repetition is the mother of all learning, that I pick it up right away. And even though I'm not looking at anything right now, I can see in my head, oh, Divide and Conquer. Oh, I can see, you know, the opening track, Awakening, and I can see, you know, what I remember hearing that when listening to those songs. Now, you talked about the videos. A lot of people weren't happy with the videos because they were like almost too overproduced. And I told them, like, songs like Manifest Reality is a really good song, even if the video is kind of like too much.
Yeah, I like the video a lot.
Okay.
And we just let Mark do whatever he wanted, you know? And I think he came up with something like really cool and really different. And for me, it's like, look, people are going to like it. Some people aren't going to like it. It doesn't really matter.
Right.
Like, for me, like, Mark is a longtime friend. He made the Independent video.
Okay.
And we've known him since 1993.
Okay.
And he's a good friend. And when I sent him the record, we said, you know, we'd like a video for this other song, and we need a video for Awakening. He's like, yeah. He goes, but I'm really feeling Manifest Reality, and I really want to make a piece, and there's this choreographer, and about movement and dance. And we're like, all right, do whatever you want, man, because he felt really strongly about it.
Okay.
And whether we like it or not, you know, it doesn't even matter, because you never know what other people are going to like.
Right.
But we really like it. And ultimately, like a lot of things, I said, you know, our relationship is more important to me than some music video.
Right.
you know? So we make this music video, and people are going to have a reaction to it one way or another, you know, because of what he did.
Right.
And I really dig it a lot. The first time I watched it, I was like, whoa. Like, it was a shock to me to not even see the band in it, you
right,
know?
Right.
And then the second time I watched it, I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. The third time I watched it, I'm like, man, that's incredibly, it's a beautifully shot, and it looks beautiful, and it feels really powerful, and, you know, and it's a video. And, right. And like most things these days, you put it out, and it comes, and, you know, and 2 weeks later, no one's talking about it anymore. So we also have to be cognizant of that. And I remember when I was talking with Paul, our longtime artist, about the cover, and I told him, you know, I was having a hard time thinking about, you know, concept-wise. And then I was like, yeah, man, dude, I'm so happy I have this idea, blah, 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 blah. And I tell him this idea. He's like, cool, cool. Then I don't hear from him for like 5 days. I'm like, dude, are you ducking me? You're totally ducking me, aren't you? And I'm like, dude, it's okay. Just tell me how you feel. He's like, I just don't like the concept. And it's hard for me to tell you. I don't like your concept.
You talking about the artwork?
Yeah, the album cover.
Yeah.
Because I don't like it. I don't like what you want me to do, and it's important that I like it so I can do a good job.
Right.
And I said, you know what, dude? That's okay. What do you want to do? He's like, I'm not sure. I'm like, well, okay. You know what you can do? Whatever you want. You do what you think is right. I trust you. And once again, I told him once again, dude, like, our relationship is more important to me than some album cover. It's just a record cover. In the whole grand scheme of things, we want the best thing that we can get. But, like, I'm not going to destroy my relationship with Paul over a stupid album cover, am I?
Absolutely.
No. So just go do it. And he came up with what I think is his masterpiece. I think it's incredible.
I agree. It evokes the ignorance type thing, but then it's real stark and black and white and in your face. But at the same time, you got your mascot with your gas mask back on. And I think it just epitomizes Sacred Reich. When I saw that artwork, I'm like, oh, that's awesome. And as far as the video, it is high tech, kind of like a Machine Head or kind of like Newer Creator, kind of like Rammstein. But like you said, in the end of it, people probably forget about the video, but the song itself, Manifest Reality, and the song itself, Awakening, are excellent songs. Those don't leave you as quickly as the video does. Just out of curiosity, what made you guys, for those who hadn't heard Sacred Reich in so long and were so yearning to hear Sacred Reich, make your first single, Don't Do It, Donnie, and then not have that as a bonus track on the album in the first place?
Well, the whole idea behind that track was just, you know, when I talked to Tony, who sings in Iron Reagan Municipal Ways.
Right, right.
Today, we're going to go make a record. He's like, save a song for a split 7-inch with Iron Reagan.
There you go.
So we were writing songs for the record, and then, you know, that song kind of came up, and I was like, oh, that'd be perfect for that. Because that's not a record song. That's not, has anything to do with the record. But that's a perfect song for a split 7-inch with Iron Reagan.
And I did see something where you were sort of kind of, because, you know, Blabbermouth blows everything out of proportion, but it almost like people felt like you were being almost too politically active, and it was just like, come on, it's just a song. It doesn't, you know, don't take it for too much. It's a little...
Who cares?
Exactly.
Who cares? And if anyone's ever going to say about Sacred Reich, they don't know anything about Sacred Reich.
Exactly.
So whenever somebody makes a comment, there's 12 people that go, have you ever heard the American way? Have you ever heard ignorance? Are you new here? You know? And I go, look, who cares? We're not going to sit around and worry about what other people think and let that dictate what we're going to do.
That's awesome.
We just do our thing, and people will like it or they won't. And that's their choice. But our choice is to do what we think is best.
And that's true metal,
you know,
right there.
Wiley was giggling. He goes, you know, we've been so thoughtful about everything that we're doing. And then we put out Don't Do It, Donnie, which is like done in 15 minutes.
Right, right.
And that's the first thing. And maybe that's not the best choice. I go, it's fine. It's all fine, dude. It's just one song on a split, and it's going to come, it's going to go. It doesn't have anything to do with the record. And the funniest thing was, you know, when Blabbermouth put out the thing, hey, you know, Cigarettes and a split 7-inch with Iron Reagan, the song's called Don't Do It, Donnie, here comes the avalanche of comments about a song no one's even heard.
Exactly.
So I go, oh, welcome to the internet. And that's just how it goes. Who cares?
Exactly.
I know, I certainly don't care.
Exactly. And you know what? When I hear it, I don't even think of that. I think of like Donny Osmond.
that's funny.
And I hear it. It's a catchy song. It's got that hard, you know, classic hardcore, you know, like DRI type 80s riff or something like that. And I just like, don't do it. Donny Osmond, don't do it. Don't that's do funny. It. You know,
so I just think, I like when he goes, dun, 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 it just makes me laugh.
Exactly. Like, or Donald song. Duck. Exactly. And I couldn't believe the backlash for that, both among fans and among people who took it like for more than what it was. But leave it up to Blappermouth. They're the National Enquirer of the heavy rock and hard heavy metal
industry.
Yeah,
and look, so. I've known Borovoy since probably 1986.
Yeah. But he probably didn't even know it was published.
We were making demos, and he had a fanzine called Violent Noise, so we've known him quite a long time.
Yeah, but I don't think he even has, and I don't think he even knows half the click tracks that get done anymore. I think he's just delegated so much that he's just like washed his hands of it. But either way,
no, he does it. It's Borovoy does it.
He approves everything because, like, I work.
Yeah, he's the one, dude.
Because I work for Brave Words, Buddy Knuckles, and Martin Popoff was like mostly hands off, even though he was the main person behind it. He was like mostly hands off, so. Well, anyway, either way, I was just kind of curious why you guys didn't pick it as a bonus track, because it was a great bonus track.
Because it wasn't ever made for the record. Okay. It was never intended for the record.
Okay.
It was just intended for the split with Iron Reagan, you know? Okay.
And that was, you said, Tony Foresta's choice to just kind of, hey, let's do something that kind of fits the Iron Reagan.
Yeah, he was just like, hey, man, make sure you save a song for a split 7-inch with Iron Reagan. I'm like, okay.
That's awesome.
It was always in the back of my head. And when that song came up, I'm like, perfect.
Awesome. So what are you personally, some of your favorite songs off the new album Awakening?
I really like Manifest a lot. I really like Salvation a lot.
Salvation's awesome.
I like Death Valley a lot.
Death Valley's awesome because it's so different.
It's different.
Yeah, it's Malaya Rage. What about, I like Divide and Conquer a lot, too.
I like Divide, too. Like, it's weird because that was the first song we wrote for the record.
Really?
So, like, lyrically, I think it's a little different. It's more like older songs, more just commentary, where like, all the rest of the songs, I think, are way more personal. So it just has a little bit of a different vibe for me personally, you know.
Are you still the main lyricist?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're saying now you're writing more from a subjective, you know, what life's handed me kind of thing, more than like a politically active more.
Well, the rest of the songs are much more influenced by the last, 20 years of our lives.
Right, that's what I figured.
And Dividing is just a commentary on how things are, you know.
Right.
But so it's definitely coming from a different place, you know. Well, but I dig the song, you know.
Well, I remember reading even like 25 years ago how, or maybe it was an interview. No, I think it was an interview on one of those hard and heavy things where you were talking about, like even when you wrote the lyrics for No God, that you kind of realized that that was kind of immature at the time. And now we've kind of gotten beyond that. So I think life just shows us that, you know, we look back and laugh, kind of like Minor Threat would say. And we kind of come back to terms like, okay, you know. But see, some of your songs, like I say, Love Hate for me is one of my favorite Sacred Reich songs, because that song, both musically and lyrically, says so much. I mean, it could be about relationships. It could be about band members, it could be about family, you know, and I think that's still great, that's still in your set list, that's still a very viable song that's still pertinent after all these decades. I gotta sort of kind of bring this to a close because my editor's gonna have a shit fit if I keep talking, because he says it's supposed to be about the artist, not me. I'm not supposed to be fanboy. So in closing, we want to thank you all for listening to this wonderful conversation with Phil Rind of Sacred Reich. We invite you to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, as well as our website, www.sonicperspectives.com, as well as watching our YouTube channel. I leave you now. Phil, what would you like us to play, either Awakening or Manifest Reality?
I think Manifest. Yeah. I really, that was the last song we wrote for the record, and I didn't have the lyrics for it till the night before. I was like,
really?
You know, that was the last song I sang because I didn't have the words, and I was like, oh man, I was just like, we're gonna do that song tomorrow. I'm like, oh man, I better write the lyrics. And I came in the studio the next day. I'm like, okay, I wrote the lyrics. I think I need to kind of arrange them in a cohesive way. You know, I kind of had to change the order of the verses in a particular way so it kind of made sense. And I really like it. I mean, it's really a very positive song, and it's really everything I could ever say. You know, be the change you want to see.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's everything I could ever hope to say in a song. So.
And it was the last really minute inspiration.
I'm really happy with him, man.
All right. Well, they will definitely play Manifest Reality. So I leave you guys with Manifest Reality. Phil, do you have any final words that you would like to add?
The thing is really to say thank you to everybody that's been, you know, supporting Sacred Reich for all these years. And we haven't really made it easy on people not having made a new record in 23 years. And, you know, and it's so amazing that we're wholly dependent on complete strangers, you know, that support us and buy records and come to shows and buy t-shirts. And it's just amazing that we still have this opportunity to do it. And it's only because of the people out there that like our band. So from the bottom of our hearts, all we could say is thank you so much for making this life possible for us, because that's what it is. So thank you so much.
And thank you, too. Thank you for continuing to write great music that's just very catchy, but also very thrashy. Thank you for being such a great lyricist. Thank you for such a great frontman. And I'm looking forward to finally seeing you guys live after all these years.
Yeah, thank you so much. And be sure to come up and say hey at the show. Like, we're always there early hanging out.
Absolutely.
So be sure to come up and introduce yourself.
Yeah, if I see you in Columbus or Indiana, I will definitely text you and introduce myself, and you'll be like, oh, hey, it's the guy that talked about all this song.
Yes. Wear your bring your Surf Nicaragua shirt.
Yeah. Maybe my son can wear it. He turns 16 on Friday. So I can make a picture of me wearing my Surf Nicaragua shirt.
There you go, man. That's
all right.
Great.
Well, thanks for all your time, and I appreciate it. And like I said, I'm, you know...